Hello and welcome to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM and WKRM Radio, your hometown news broadcasting from the Debbie Matthews Nashville Realty Newsroom in Columbia, Tennessee. I'm your host, Tom Price. Today is Friday, April 18th, and we start as always with local news. Four people, including a mother and grandmother, are being charged for their connection to the overdose death of a Maury County teen. Caitlin DuPont was just 16 years old when she died from an overdose on December 14th. Approximately 4 months later, on April 10th, the Maury County Sheriff's Department made multiple arrests in DuPont's case. A multi-count indictment reports that four people, including the teen's mother, Casey Bankhead, and grandmother, Nancy Bankhead, have been arrested in connection to the overdose. Casey and Nancy Bankhead were reportedly charged with aggravated child neglect and first-degree murder. According to the charging document, the women unlawfully and knowingly neglected a child under 18 years of age so as to adversely affect the child's health and welfare, and the act of neglect resulted in serious bodily injury. Jerry Durham is being held in the Maury County Jail facing six charges, including first-degree murder, second-degree murder, two counts of aggravated statutory rape, one count of aggravated child neglect, and possession of meth. During an interview with News 2's Andy Cordan, Durham stated that the drugs that killed Caitlin DuPont came from her mother. The fourth person indicted in connection to DuPont's death has been identified as 43-year-old Jessica Estes. She is charged with second-degree murder. The mother of two adult children acknowledged that she has a history of drug dealing, but said she doesn't deal to children and she didn't deal the drugs that killed Caitlin DuPont. Both Nancy and Casey Bankhead have since been released from jail on bond. No additional details were immediately released. An 18-year-old is facing several charges for his connection to a shooting at a Columbia home that resulted in the death of another teen Tuesday afternoon. The Columbia Police Department said officers were sent to the home to a home along Watley Street at approximately 5:30 p.m. to respond to a reported shooting. Upon their arrival, officials reportedly discovered 18-year-old Jaden Braden unresponsive, suffering from multiple gunshot wounds. According to authorities, Braden was taken to Maury County Regional Medical Center, where he later died. After following up on investigative leads, officers said they were able to identify the suspect as 18-year-old Elijah Wolflin. He was later found at a residence in Columbia and taken into custody. Records show Wolflin was charged with first-degree murder, possession of a firearm during the commission of a violent felony, reckless endangerment, and aggravated assault resulting in death. Police added the teens were associates and there is no active or ongoing threats to public safety regarding this incident. Columbia Mayor Chas Mulder issued a statement about Tuesday's shooting, which reads in part, "As a community, we come together in the good times and in difficult times. That is what defines us. That is who we are. Liz and I are heartbroken by recent events in Columbia, including the loss of life of one who had a lot of life left to live. And for all those who are impacted by this loss and tragic event, particularly the high school-aged population who knew the situation." A statement from Maury County Public Schools said the district extends thoughts and prayers to the Central High School community, family, and friends. No additional details were immediately released. The Columbia Planning Commission has approved preliminary plans for a neighborhood Walmart to be constructed in the Honey Farm subdivision off Nashville Highway next to a proposed McDonald's. Walmart presented a request for preliminary planned unit development at Nashville Highway and Honey Farm Way on April 9th, which consisted of a few details as to how the new big box retail store will compare to others. The store won't be a typical Walmart superstore like the existing Columbia location off Brookmead Drive and James Campbell Parkway, but rather a smaller 40,000 square foot facility the brand has begun to utilize in smaller communities. Overall, working with the applicants on the site plan, they did come very far in meeting our ordinance standards regarding fronting, parking lot orientation, and overall design, city planner Austin Brass said. From my understanding, this is a new prototype store. It is not a traditional neighborhood market, but a little larger, but not a super center, he said. Columbia Mayor Chas Mulder later asked if the plan also included connectivity for traffic and/or pedestrians, Brass said there are plans to add an additional internal drive to the front of the store, which will connect with Leafcutter B Way behind a proposed McDonald's adjacent to the parcel. There is a stub out to the north of the property where the buffer is, Brass said. What that does is set up a development standard to when that property to the north develops. We have a true internal drive section built up, which in turn helps reduce conflicts onto Nashville Highway, he said. Much of the April 9th discussion focused on the suggested variances the planned unit development could allow, as well as concerns over signage, particularly to the back of the building. Vice Mayor Randy McBroom ultimately motioned for the Planning Commission to approve the preliminary development plans, with the condition that the store's south side signage be removed. I appreciate the way it looks, because it doesn't look like a Walmart, but more like a medical building, Vice Mayor Randy McBroom said. I think it will fit really well with a McDonald's next to it. I think this is what we are trying to grasp in that area, because this isn't your normal-looking Walmart. I think it will be a plus up there with the two-story look, he said. Mayor Mulder added that the project is another example of seeing the zoning ordinance work to get a very good product. Just as importantly, we are getting a much-needed retail center in this area of North Columbia, Mulder said. I'm proud to support this motion. The vote ultimately passed 5-1 with Planning Commissioner James Sloan opposing. As the need for solutions to Murray County's utility needs becomes more apparent, a local group is looking into the past for potential answers to protecting the region's future. Columbia Dam Now, a grassroots action group, held its first public meeting this week to raise awareness for revisiting the former, longtime defunct Columbia Dam project. The project, which dates back to the early 1970s and was initiated by the Tennessee Valley Authority, was halted in 1983 due to its potential environmental impact on the Duck River and other contributing factors. Jerry Breidenbaugh, who also serves as Murray County Commissioner, and Jason Gillum, who each chair and vice chair of the Columbia Dam Now Board, hosted Tuesday's meeting, sharing the many benefits the dam would pose for Murray County, as well as the surrounding region's growing water needs. This reservoir, when it comes to fruition, will be 12,000 acres, and Tim's Ford is 10,000 acres, Breidenbaugh said. This is a 100-year solution to solve the water supplies for this county and the surrounding counties. When this thing gets built up, we won't have to buy water anymore. We can sell water, he said. In 1989, TVA demolished the unfinished dam, removing approximately 26,000 cubic yards of concrete and reshaping the basin to resemble its original state. The project's total expenditure by the time of deconstruction totaled approximately $85 million. Gillum, who also sits on the Murray County Water System Board, added that the utility will also soon be connecting to a new HB&TS pipeline drawing from the Cumberland River, which will provide additional relief to the Duck. Gillum also shared personal ties to the former Columbia Dam project and those directly affected by its dismantling. My grandparents' farm was one of the farms that had part of it taken from by the TVA for this project, Gillum said. The economic viability of a project like this and the growth we would experience here economically is astronomical, he said. None of that compares to the long-term pain that families have carried here for generations after having their land taken from them on a promise of a lake being built, he said. The Murray County Commission is set to review the dam project at its April 21st meeting, when the board will vote on whether it will provide support. Commissioner Gabe Howard, who resides in District 2 where the reservoir is located, shared his support for the project. I am all in on this project, and I think it is a good additional opportunity for us to keep exploring and make happen, Howard said. I would encourage local folks to continue the conversation, look at every option, he said. Columbia Dam Now also recently launched a website at www.columbiadamnow.com, which provides information about the project's history, ways to donate, and news about upcoming meetings. Funding for the project would also need to come largely from federal support. Rick Williams, representing U.S. Representative Andy Ogles, has also been a leading voice of support for revitalizing the former project. It should have never been taken down, and we are going to get it back, Williams said. Now is the time, if there ever was a time, to rebuild it. You need water more than ever, and then there are the recreational benefits, the boating, and the fishing. It would be great, he said. A feasibility study would be required before any dirt could be shoveled, which could take years to complete. In an April 9th Facebook post, Maury County Mayor Sheila Butt shared her concerns on the project's likelihood. What the dam group is going to need is at least our two U.S. senators, TVA, and maybe even the president to champion the project, she stated. Even at that, any future administration could nix the project on a whim, and we have already found out. So that's where we are realistically. If that money is even appropriated, it will take 10 years for feasibility studies, environmental studies, and millions of dollars to ever get the go-ahead, she said. Breidenbaugh commented on the feasibility study Tuesday, saying that the next step is seeking assistance from Representative Ogles' office in expediting the process, though it could take influence from even greater leaders to ensure the job gets done. The landscape has changed, and we need to make sure this is all done right, Breidenbaugh said. But I will say this, we have a guy in the White House who believes in getting things done and getting them done now. That's what we are working towards, both as a local group and on the federal level as well, he said. There are also environmental aspects which contributed to the project halt in 1983 to consider, and if this project would again pose a potential danger to the Duck River's biodiversity. We know there are people we can contact to be a source where we can get those types of answers, Breidenbaugh said. One of the suggestions made to us was to get some marine experts, possibly from the University of Tennessee or the other institutions around the state, who will help us be able to dig into the environmental impact, he said. Gillum added that the Maury County Archives has collected an extensive number of documents and information related to the project, which is in the process of being reviewed. We have 8 banker's boxes of paperwork related to the original project, and we are sifting through them now, Gillum said. Columbia Dam Now's next meeting will be at 4:30 p.m. on April 22nd at the Maury County Water System office, located at 765 Lewisburg Highway. As the previous Columbia Mall site off James M. Campbell Boulevard continues to take shape, developers are now attempting to create better connectivity as the shopping center's first businesses prepare to open. The site, which had 4 years remained undeveloped and considered by many to be an eyesore, appeared on the Columbia Planning Commission's agenda earlier this month. Plans indicate shops in the development thus far would include Ulta Cosmetics, Wingstop Restaurant, and America's Best Eyewear Store, Bath & Body Works, and Tropical Smoothie Cafe. Property owners Highland Capital also presented a request to use an existing driveway to provide safer access for pedestrians adjacent to the proposed 12,113-square-foot retail center. Without having existing sidewalk on Shady Brook Street or any sort of crosswalk at James Campbell leading pedestrians up to that area with nowhere to go was a safety concern, Preston Ayer of SWS Engineering, the principal engineers on the project, said. Our feeling was, how can we add pedestrian safety within the site, he asked. In addition, the proposed improvements could also provide opportunities for connectivity to future development sites in the area. This is essentially getting us a sidewalk that is not as far as what we would require, but on the other hand is actually getting us a sidewalk to connect to the parcels already there in existence, Mayor Chas Mulder said. So we are solving a problem that's there today instead of putting sidewalks to a problem that's not there yet. This is a long-term goal for us, and we want to make sure this is something that all connects, but we are trying to do it at a time that makes sense, Highland Capital Principal Wyatt Wolke said. That's why we are trying to connect it to the main mall property at this time. What I don't want to do is build something only to tear it back up as the developments come in, he said. During the April meeting, Wolke spoke about the progress the mall has made since the December 2024 purchase, including shops customers can expect. We are very much excited about what is coming, Wolke said. We have Academy Sports, Ulta Beauty, and Beals coming in. Wingstop is legitimate, as is Bath & Body Works, America's Best, and Tropical Smoothie. We are pushing very hard to strike while the iron is hot, he said. In addition, Wolte said 7 Brew Coffee and Valvoline are among other companies ready to move into the site. Those are coming along quickly as well, he said. In addition to a new sidewalk and shops, the mall's overall visual aesthetic is set to have a few changes. We just renovated that pylon sign that was previously at Columbia Power Sports, and it is now separated into multi-panel tenant spaces, and so hopefully every single tenant will have panels on that pylon, Wolte said. It is now fully finished. That is our goal, to take what's been given to us by Hull Property Group and make it better, he said. Well, there was much discussion about the site's future, much of which remains is unknown in regards to connectivity and development of adjacent Highland Capital-owned properties, Mulder concluded the April discussion. These guys are clearly invested in this site, and they're going to want connectivity, to be able to require connectivity from their tenants because they know it's going to make better sense for their property as a whole, Mulder said. This would provide immediate walkability from a new outparcel that's going to have four tenants, maybe five, to a major property. Mulder later motioned to approve the request, which received a 4-2 vote in favor by the Planning Commission. Columbia Mayor Chas Mulder and members of the James Craig Foundation recently had the honor of presenting scholarships to seniors at Columbia Central High School. These scholarships were made possible through the James Craig Foundation, which was established by Dr. James Craig, a 1951 graduate of Central High School, and his wife, Bobby Craig. For over 20 years, the foundation has played a pivotal role in supporting Columbia Central High School students, providing scholarships and contributing to various operations at the school. Dr. Craig's lasting legacy continues to positively impact Columbia Central High School, making a difference in the lives of students year after year. The 2025 scholarship recipients were Trevante Martin, Kevante Martin, Kayla Crawford, Angie Lynn, and Macy Bonet. And now your hometown memorials, sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Joe Carolyn Allen Lovell, 81, died Tuesday, April 15th at NHC Murray Regional Transitional Center. Funeral services will be conducted on Saturday, April 19th at 2 p.m. Burial will follow in Polk Memorial Gardens. The family will visit with friends on Saturday from 12 until 2 at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. Online condolences may be extended at www.oaksandnichols.com. Michael Lee Dale, 60, a truck driver for Marlene's Express and a resident of Williamsport, died Tuesday, April 15th at Murray Regional Medical Center. A visitation will be held on Thursday, April 24th at 5 p.m. until 7 p.m. at Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home. The family will have a celebration of life at a later date. Hometown Memorials is sponsored by Oaks and Nichols Funeral Home, serving with dignity and consideration for over 150 years.
As years go by, people may tend to forget just what a funeral is really all about. At Oaks and Nichols, we believe it's first and always a special remembrance of someone you love. We start by listening to your needs and desires. If you're unsure, we can help, gently, professionally. At Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, we haven't lost sight of why we're here, to serve Murray County families in the ways they prefer, and why Matt and Susie Sowell believe the way to honor tradition is with especially personal service.
We believe your traditions, your customs, your rites of passage are very important, but we also believe in taking care of your personal wishes as well.
At Oaks and Nichols, we try to do more than just the expected things, so the service you receive honors your heritage and is uniquely yours, and we invite you to experience the difference.
Oaks and Nichols Funeral Directors, 320 West 7th Street in Columbia. Since 1856, people you can rely on.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee. We apologize for the glitch. For your Southern Middle Tennessee weather, we will have partly cloudy skies today and a high of 84 degrees. Winds will be out of the south at 10 to 20 miles per hour. Tonight, we can expect partly cloudy skies and a low of around 65. Winds will continue out of the south at 10 to 15 miles per hour. For your Easter weekend forecast, we will see a mix of sun and clouds. Sun will be in the mid-80s with overnight lows in the mid-60s. We can expect some rain to come in next week. Let's take a break. When we come back, we'll cover state and national news that affect you. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
This is Del Kennedy. My sister and I owned a building in downtown Columbia. We wanted to sell it. We engaged Debbie Matthews, Nashville Realty Company, as our agent for the sale of the property. The experience was absolutely amazing. Debbie worked tirelessly to get our expectations and then to show the property many, many times. And then when the contract was signed, she worked tirelessly to get the thing to close, including getting the building all cleaned out and a final walkthrough with the new buyer. I could not give a higher recommendation to anybody than I do to Debbie Matthews.
Pickup truck, sports car, motorcycle, minivan. townhouse, two-story, farmhouse, fixer-upper. What you drive and where you live is different for everyone, so it's important to have insurance that fits your needs and is just right for you. At Shelter Insurance, we understand that, which is why our agents help you design a comprehensive auto, home, and life insurance plan. Insurance that fits just right.
Ask Tommy Height about Shelter's auto, home, and life options at 388-2009. For 40 years, the Jewelers Bench has worked hard for their customers and provided the highest quality jewelry at the best price. They keep going back. Recent renovations have allowed them to expand their inventory. More high quality jewelry, custom vintage and estate pieces, and professional jewelry and watch repairs. They also buy gold. The Jewelers Bench, still here, still great service. 808 Trotwood Avenue, Columbia.
Hi, I'm Matt Perales, manager of Murray County Equipment. We help you with all your agriculture and construction equipment needs. We carry a full line of New Holland tractors from compacts to high horsepower. We have a full line of Gravely mowing equipment. We also have New Holland construction equipment, attachments, and accessories for your tractors and a complete parts department. We are locally owned and operated. Come see us at 1075 North James Campbell Boulevard or learn about us on Facebook or contact us at 931-490-8183.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today on WKOM 101.7 and WKRM 103.7, your hometown source for news and information. I'm Tom Price. And now news from around the state. Tennessee lawmakers approved a $59.8 billion state budget for the year, reallocating $180 million from Governor Bill Lee's priorities to their own initiatives. The passage of the budget in the House and Senate on April 16th, a major task for the Tennessee General Assembly, moves lawmakers closer toward adjourning the legislative session. Lawmakers eliminated $60 million in funding for a major starter home initiative proposed by Lee and yanked $35 million from another high-profile effort to regionalize conservation of the Duck River, which Lee touted during his annual State of the State address. The Duck River project will still be funded by $90 million. A number of smaller funds Lee hoped to grant to nonprofit initiatives were also eliminated. The final budget included funding for $447 million statewide private school voucher program, new funding for Hurricane Helene relief, and $1 billion in one-time funding for road projects, continuing to chip away at the state's $38 billion backlog. Republican leaders touted the state's fiscal stability, low per capita tax burden, and no debt while championing the spending bill on Wednesday. Democrats were quick to point out that the budget includes, for the first time in years, issuance of more than $1 billion in bonds to cover the state's expenses amid flattening tax revenues. Let's take one last break. When we come back, we'll cover the final story of the day. You're listening to Southern Middle Tennessee Today.
Turner and Osborne Tire Company, 1016 South Main Street in Columbia. Give them a call at 931-388-6822. They've been doing business since 1947 and in their current location since 1964. They provide the best tire and mechanical work at some of the best prices in Middle Tennessee. Hey, they're official Michelin and Goodyear dealers, and they've got all kinds of brands as well. Stop by and see Walker Vining and his professional staff or check them out online at turnerandosborne.com. That's turnerandosborne.com.
Minutes matter when you call 911 for a heart attack, and Murray Regional Health is ready to care for you. Utilizing the state-of-the-art cardiac cath lab at Murray Regional Medical Center, our team of expert cardiologists and experienced clinical professionals are equipped to investigate heart conditions quickly and perform life-saving interventional procedures. Go to murrayregional.com/heart to learn more. And remember, always dial 911 when you or someone near you is experiencing heart attack symptoms. Murray Regional Health, where clinical excellence meets compassionate care.
This is Hal Landers, owner of Landers Insurance Agency. We are an independent agency representing the famous Erie Insurance Group. Landers Insurance Agency has been committed to providing great rates and great service since 2002. Whether it's home and auto or business or life insurance, we've got you covered. 24/7 in-house claim service, we've got that too. Visit Landers Insurance at 514 North Garden Street, Columbia. Call us at 931-380-2003. Our website is landersinsuranceagency.com and follow us on Facebook and Instagram.
Welcome back to Southern Middle Tennessee Today, and now our final story. On Friday, April 18th at 7:30 p.m., the Mule House, located at 812 South High Street, will host Darren Knight, the comedic sensation from Munford, Alabama, whose Southern Mama character has taken the South and the nation by storm. With a massive social media following, Darren Knight delivers laughter and unforgettable entertainment wherever he performs. Guest comedians include Red Squirrel, Gary Cargill, and DJ Slim McGraw. For more information, visit www.themulehouse.com. That's all for this edition of Southern Middle Tennessee Today on Kennedy Broadcasting, WKOM, WKRM Radio. If you ever miss a part or all of this broadcast, you can listen to it anytime or read the transcript online by visiting frontporchradiotn.com. I'll be back on Monday to update you with the latest news. I'm Tom Price. Thanks for listening. Be safe and have a great Easter weekend.